We're dealing with unfinished business, the latest work by James Van Praagh. We'll be with him and take final calls now this hour, right here on Coast to Coast AM. James, how much does karma play in all of this?
Well, I think first we have to understand what karma is. And karma is what people think, they say the law of cause and effect. What you give out, you get back. And I think that it is all energy. It's all energy, and karma is what you do with that energy, whether it's positive or negative. Many people think karma is negative, but there's also positive karma. So it's really energy. What's how you use the energy? I don't like this being judgment of it, but it's a judgment. But I like to say how you treat that energy, what you create. What you create in the world, you will receive back. You will live what you create. That is what karma is. Karma is also lessons to learn. So karma is not necessarily, again, negative, but positive too. Positive lessons you have to learn.
So many people always talk about karma, too. It goes around, comes around. Do you believe that?
I do. I do believe that. I do believe it's energy which does, you experience it. You're creating it. We create, and I think you will create that. That's your karma. That is your karma, what you're creating. Mm-hmm. You have to experience what you're creating.
Let's go to the final calls. Irene in Houston, thanks for holding. Irene, it's yours.
Oh, what a blessing. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Do people see the truth after they die? A person I know did not believe that her husband sexually abused her daughter. And after she tried to tell her mother what he did, her mother pretty much shunned her for the rest of her growing up years. And also, I was just wondering if I had a dream about a relative who had passed away from cancer.
Mm.
And I had seen him in a metallic, like a steel and glass building, like a factory-looking building.
Mm-hmm.
And he informed me that he was coming back. And for some reason, I blurted out to him, but you would be coming back agreeing to having lung problems, as an infant. I blurted this out to him. So could you share what you think about that?
Sure. Those two things that you asked. The first one was, do we see truth when we pass out of the spiritual dimensions? And the answer to that is, to a degree, we do. Our perceptions are opened, and we see each other, each being, each other as we truly are. If we want to accept that again is our own free will. But we do see things from a different light, forgive the pun. Regarding the dream you have, I think it's a very good, amazing dream, intense dream, and I think it's a very interesting perspective because we do choose to have certain conditions. We come back in this physical world, this physical body, with various conditions in order to learn or to alleviate some karma from before. So maybe in another lifetime they had lung conditions they hadn't worked out, to come back and work them out. Definitely. I definitely have even diseases and things like that, for sure. So that's very true, very truthful, what you say.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Irene. You know how many people you touch, lives you touch, James?
I think it's millions. But I don't think of it that way, George. It's funny because I've been told that every day when I do these book signings and go around the country, and I look at it as my work. I do look at it as my work. And I know that when someone comes to me at a book signing and they say, I was going to kill myself, but I read your book and I stopped, then I know it's all worth it. I know that.
Absolutely.
I think that definitely was my work to come back here and do this, for sure.
Next up, let's go east of the Rockies, Knoxville, Tennessee. Kevin.
Hi. Hey, George.
Hi, Kev.
Hey, my question to Mr. James. It pertains to completing a journey here on this side for someone who's passed on. Like,
mm-hmm.
For instance, say the two of you you're helping someone train, say for like a marathon, and mm-hmm. You're both passionate about it. They're going to compete. You're not necessarily thinking about competing, but then they're taken from you, and you can kind of feel almost immediately that you should pick up where they left off and complete that journey for them. Is there?
I love it, Kevin. I love it. I love it. I love it. And yes, two things. Number one, each soul is different, so each situation is different. What their needs are, your needs are. I tell people, too, also, that when someone passes away, one of the greatest things we can do is to finish up their journey for them, if it's within our capacity to do that. I see that many times spirits will say, thank you for teaching me. But they pass into the spirit world, and they're learning by our how we act on this earth, how we behave. So let's say you finish that journey for that soul. They will live through you. They will live through you by you doing that. They will see that being completed.
You can actually, it would have been, I guess, I don't know if it's normal, but at times, like, during the training process. And
you might feel them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, also you have to remember, you're a soul group. You're a soul, this is a soulmate of yours. You know, I don't believe there's just one soulmate. I believe they're soulmates. And I believe that we're so intricately involved with each other, if you will, that we share experiences of lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, that individual, that soul, will share that with you from the spirit level, the physical level, for sure.
Yeah, I just kind of felt that, you know.
And I want to say, God bless you and good for you for doing that.
It was just too strong of a feeling to, mm-hmm. to believe it was more self-driven. It felt like it was coming from somewhere else. So.
It had to be completed, and you helped complete it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, thank you, James.
Yes, Kevin.
Thank you, George.
Okay. Somebody's emailed me, James, and they had someone passed on, and they're just wondering what they can do.
What they can do. Very, very good question. I don't know how they passed on, but generally speaking, the number one way the spirits will communicate with the living is really through the dream state. I tell people to have like a journal, a dream journal on the side of the bed. At night, when they go to sleep, ask the spirit to show themselves in the dream, just to give you a sign and in your dream state. Because when we're in the rational mindset, we put walls up, we judge, we rationalize, we critique, so we don't see spirit clearly. But we're in the dream state. We're able to be with them and see them. And we can record it if we can remember that conscious mind. So hold the dream journal next to you in the bed, you know, put on the side table, whatever, near you, and write it down. That's the best way to communicate with them. Praying. They hear our thoughts all the time. It's not like they don't hear us. They hear our thoughts. They're in a world of thought. So our thoughts come very, very clearly.
All right, next up, let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah. Pam, first-time caller. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, how would someone know if they had an actual out-of-body experience or if it was a dream?
That's a really good question. And how about it be the same thing? So, for instance, as we're saying before, I mentioned before in the show, when I had my out-of-body experience, you know when you're out of your body. And every night we go to sleep, we leave our bodies. So we're a spirit, first and foremost, having a physical experience. And at night, you leave your body, and you go into the spiritual dimensions. And the physical body is attached to the spirit body by what's called a silver cord. And you can travel for miles and miles in the spiritual dimensions, and that's an out-of-body experience. So consciously, you might not remember that, but it does happen. But out-of-body experiences, when people talk about them, usually they're conscious of it. So that's also another way. So it doesn't matter the dream state, the conscious state, it's out of the body.
Well, if you're having a dream, it's like not vivid. And most of the time you don't remember. But mm-hmm. if you have an out-of-body experience, like
when you see relatives,
more vivid?
And, right, when you're seeing relatives and they're...
Yeah,
that's definitely an out-of-body experience. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, and there are places you can train on the Monroe Institute. They have programs you can train yourself actually to have out-of-body experiences and astral projection, for sure.
When you had your near-death experience, James, what happened to you?
When I had my near-death experience, it was I was very ill. I was I had food poisoning. And a doctor, unfortunately, told me not to go to the emergency room. That would pass. And 12 hours later and 5 pints of blood later, it didn't pass. I ended up going in the bathroom, and I blacked out. My head hit the sink, and I was out of it. And I came right out of my body, and as people have said, I was in the corner of the room looking down at my body, and my first words were, oh, blah, blink, you know, curse there. And I thought, oh, and I knew immediately that I was not finished, that something was wrong here. This isn't the way it's supposed to go because I had a lot more work to do. And then I saw my cousin, Patricia, who completed suicide 30 years before, and I had never seen her, which is interesting since I've done my work. And I said to her mentally, telepathically, what's going on? And she said, it's going to be all over. Don't worry, it'll be all over. It'll be fine. And next thing I knew, she was gone. I saw my father in the distance, who was about 25 years old, and I knew he was 25 years old. I just knew it. As I looked at him, I went right back to my body, swoosh, and the first thing I remember, my head hurt. I remember feeling my head hurt. And a friend of mine was screaming at me, wake up, wake up. And the first words out of my mouth were, dying is easy, living is hard. And then I spent 5 days in the hospital.
My gosh.
Getting blood transfusions.
Glad you're here with us. Hey,
thank you. I think, though, George, it's interesting because people said after the experience, the frequency has changed. My messages have changed. The work I do, my teachings are at a higher level of frequency. And I've noticed that also, you know, before we talked about Edgar Cayce, much more of my readings now are more like soul readings for the person. It encompasses not only their health, state of well-being, but also the level of soul they're on, the level of spirituality, what they have to learn for their soul. So it's the readings have definitely changed. The messages have definitely changed.
Do you ever deal with animal spirits at all?
Oh, all the time. All the time. Funny, 2 months ago in California, I did a workshop. I do them a lot in California because I live over here.
Yeah.
And in the audience of 100 people, and this horse came right in the auditorium, and it was a black and white horse. And then this man was riding this horse, and on top of the man's head was a cat, a white cat, and went right to this lady in the audience. And she said, oh, yes, that's my husband, and that was his horse, and that was our kitty cat we had. So they come through a lot. Animals come through a lot. A lot of dogs and cats a lot of times, and horses. Haven't brought through goldfish yet.
But I'm sure
I brought through birds. Many times I brought through birds. I'll never forget once in Denver. The last lady, the last row of the auditorium, about 1,000 people, and I said, there's a parrot that died, and there's a lady here in the back, and you've kept the parrot in the freezer. And this lady raised her hand, she said, I certainly did. My parrot, God. I didn't know what to do with the parrot. I wanted to keep the parrot. It's still in my freezer.
Oh.
The parrot came through.
Oh, my yeah. God.
It told me his body was in the freezer.
Let me out, right?
Exactly.
West of the Rockies, we go to Johnny in Oregon. Hey, Johnny.
Hi, George. About 1996, my son took my car against my wishes and smacked it into a tree about 4 o'clock in the morning and killed his friend that was with him. Mm-hmm. Spent 17 weeks in a coma. And as the result of my divorce, and none of my children talk to me now, and everybody seems to want to put it all back on me. So maybe... James can help me figure out my dilemma and how I can have civil relations with these people after all this time.
Well, number one, you can't force them to love you, like you, the way you want. You have to never start with yourself, and you've got to forgive yourself. That's the first step.
Yeah.
You have to forgive yourself. That's number one. And you've got to stop beating yourself up. It wasn't your fault. You know, it really wasn't your fault. You weren't driving that car. So that's the number one thing, and that's what I think needs to take place, the forgiveness of yourself. And don't hide your feelings and your emotions by drinking and covering them up with you know what I'm saying, with being out of the body. You've got to experience this. And it's a great lesson for you, forgiving yourself and loving yourself. And I think, as I said before in the show, when you express that love to yourself, how you live your life, you'll teach others that, you know what, I'm not a bad guy. And then you can't control others. You know, I think that it's really difficult because family is it's such a difficult thing with the family. But as I write in this book, you have people in your life for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And you have to do the best you can do, and that's all you can do. And then you got to release it and let it go. If you love yourself and you know, you tell them you love them, you've done the best you could, and you're very, very sorry for what happened, that's all you can do,
yeah.
Right?
You got to stop beating yourself up, huh, James?
Yes, you have to. You have to. You got to start giving yourself love instead. And stop beating yourself up. Learning, it's a lesson. It's a wonderful opportunity for growth, and learning to love yourself.
Debbie in Toledo, Ohio. Hello, Debbie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you both for having so much insight and helping people. And I wanted to ask James, how does one go about dealing with a lot of negative energy that they feel that's in their house are directed towards them, and that, you know, brings them down into you know, depression and
sure, but, you know, it's a good question, and it's a very common question.
Bad things happening, and just yep. It's just
It's an important question you're asking.
Sucked into this hole and you can't get out.
Well, number one, you don't want that, right? You have to make a conscious decision of not wanting that in your life. And it's the same thing with victim consciousness. You don't want any victim consciousness. It's not very happy. It's not very fun. People won't like to be around you. You got to change your way of thinking. You got to change the people around you. I once did a reading for a lady. She came to my house years ago. She banged on the door, and I opened the door, and I saw her aura, and it was filled with other people's energy, other people's thoughts. And she had a hard time sleeping. Weird things were happening in her house. Things just like you're saying to me. And she said, "What's wrong with me?" And I said, "It's not what's wrong with you. It's who's wrong with you. Whose energy is sitting on you? Whose energy are you taking in?" So in that respect, you have to get rid of any energy around you, peel it off, go through protection exercises, cleansing exercises, purifying exercises. You have to do that. And you have to get yourself out of a situation where it's negative. But you could also consciously think to yourself, "I don't want to place myself in that situation around negative people." When you bring love into your life, as I told the gentleman before you, I have a wonderful meditation called "Healthy Am I, Happy Am I, Holy Am I?" And I tell a lot of my clients to do that. And it forces positive energy around you. And like attracts like. When you have positive energy toward you, negative energy will cease to be there. And people in your life who are negative will not be in your life anymore. It happens. It works that way. You got to practice that.
Absolutely. Good luck to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you had mentioned that some people pick up on this a little quicker than others in terms of training, meditating. Why is that? How come some are better than some aren't? And you use the analogy of a piano player,
right,
and a concert pianist.
I think innately there are some people that are born more sensitive than other people, just like there are some people that are born more emotional than other people. It's just that person's makeup, if you will. And I think that's the reason why that's, and I don't think it's anything more than that. I think it's just their nature.
Let's go to San Juan Capistrano, California, caller.
Right where I live.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Hi, Lauren.
Hey. Hi, George. Hi, James.
Hi.
Great show. Every time I listen to you, you change my life a little more. And I got a couple of questions that are tied together. First one is, you talk about these different frequencies and levels. Do they correlate to our state of emotions, and can we learn to access those levels and by controlling our emotional state?
Yes. Everything is energy, right? So there are various levels of energy, which mean molecules vibrating and moving at certain rates of speed. And there are many, many levels of speed, many, many levels of frequency, if you will. The highest one, by the way, being love. Okay, and you can bring that into your body, into your surrounding, that frequency of love. How do you do that? Meditation, prayer, going within, happy thoughts, loving energy. That's what you'll receive. And that's how you bring the frequency up. And yes, of course, you can access those levels by bringing in that loving energy and tuning into your higher self. And what happens is, that's how I work. When I do mediumship, what I do is I meditate, and I bring those higher levels of frequency down into my physical being. And that's what I work on, that vibration of love. And that's when I open myself up and I'm able to connect with spirit that way.
So we'll be back. We'll take final phone calls with James Van Praagh next on Coast to Coast AM. A couple of guests on our next Coast to Coast program, Gregory Sams, as we talk about Son of God discovering consciousness. And then Maurice Cotterell joins us as we talk about 2012 and some other related issues. When we come right back, we'll take final phone calls with James Van Praagh on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're with James Van Praagh. James, what was the telling moment for you when thousands and thousands of people began to realize what you did and your work with the spirit?
Well, the first major event really was the Larry King Show back in 1997. It was the first time that that show ever had a medium on television. Really, the first time a medium was really seen on television, except for I did a show called The Other Side on NBC years before, but certainly the first time at night in this venue. And it was very interesting because I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I just had never done live calls before on television.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty amazing. The publisher at that time, my first book, Talking to Heaven, they printed only 6,000 copies because they didn't believe in the book necessarily. And it went from, let's see, it was a Friday night, did Larry King, and the CNN bureaus around the world, did not stop receiving calls until Sunday night.
That's
and the book from 6,000 copies to 600,000 within 2 months and became number one New York Times bestseller. And that's what I knew. It hit people, millions of people, and affected millions of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
God.
That was the beginning.
It's only 12 years ago.
It's only 12 years ago. But since then, you know, After Me became, then John Edward came after me, and really Sylvia Brown was known after me,
yeah.
Although she was working years before me. But, you know, then it really opened up the door. I was really a pioneer for this type of work for many, many people, so which I'm very happy for.
I find you far more effective than Sylvia Brown. More effective.
It's a whole different world.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing.
Back to final calls. Let's go to St. Louis now, first-time caller. Hello, Gary. You're up with us.
Yeah, good morning, George, James.
Hey, Gary.
James, I've seen you a long time ago when you brought out your book, Lessons from the Light.
Lessons from the Light. No, that wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you?
No, that was Joel Martin.
Okay. Well, anyway, I've seen you a long time ago, and you were talking, about the other side, about the spirit, that
right.
Light on, and I realized that there is another side, and ever since then, I've never been scared of dying.
Great.
My question is for you tonight, is how does a person know what their life's purpose is, what you're here to learn?
Easy. You want to find out what it is? Very easy. You might not like the answer, but I'll tell you. The way you can find out really is through meditation, and that's how I found it out. You really have to learn to just quiet the mind, go in, and really find out through meditation that process and getting to know your inner world, your soul, connecting with your soul and finding exactly what it is you have to do this time around. That's the only way I know that's the most clear way and precise way of finding it out.
How does it come to you, though, through the meditation? In what form?
It's a process. It's almost like peeling away layers of an onion. And it's really discovering yourself from the inside out, knowing who you are. And once you find who you are, knowing who you are, you realize what you're here for. You realize what your soul is here to learn and what your purpose is. And once you get to that point in the meditation, which could take months, might take years. I would certainly think people should attempt it. It's also a very good thing health-wise, meditation. For many reasons, it's very positive to meditate. But that is the way that I have done it. You could try through a dream state. That's fine. I don't trust that as much as I would through a process of meditation.
Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio. Laura's waiting. Hey, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about people with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
I know in one of your books, my sister read to me that they're like half here and half there.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, do they know, you know, who's...
Yes. My father had dementia, and he was in a coma before he died, and he had dementia before he went to a coma, and I knew he was in and out of the body. I knew he was hearing me very clearly because I had a conversation with him before he left the physical body for good, right before he physically died. I had a conversation with him. And the rest of my siblings also said, it's time to pass out, Dad. It's time to go home, time to go to the other side. And he clearly said to me, I heard him say, I don't want you kids fighting when I leave. And he said, if you make that agreement, I'll go. And we did, and he died 5 minutes later. And so they're out of the body. The consciousness, you have to remember, the consciousness is not limited to the physical body. We're in and out of the physical body very easily. Every day we go in and out. For instance, you're driving down the street, and you don't remember the exit. Also, the exit passes by. Where was I? Why didn't I see that exit? Or you're reading a book, and you got to turn back the pages because you don't remember what you read. Now, where were you? You were in a different state of consciousness. So there's different levels of consciousness. We go in and out of the body all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Let's go to Bend, Oregon. Jeremy, west of the Rockies. You're up. Hey, Jeremy. Good morning.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. Hi, Mr. Von Prague. How are you?
Good, thank you.
George, I just wanted to say my best wishes are with your father.
Thank you. He's in the hospital.
I know he'll do well because he's got to make his 60th anniversary.
He's got to get there, August.
Yeah, definitely. And Mr. Von Prague, I was just curious. You were mentioning that Audrey Hepburn showed up on one of your readings.
Yes.
And I was wondering... Have any other like notable celebrities ever popped up?
Oh yes, a lot. I had once I was doing a reading for a gentleman, and a lady stood next to him, and oh, I couldn't see her, but I heard her, and she sounded just like Betty Davis, and I got the sense that she was smacking a cigarette around, and I said, "There's a lady here who sounds like Betty Davis," and the gentleman said, "Well, that is Betty Davis. I was her assistant."
Oh, geez.
And another time happened. I was with this gentleman doing a reading, and I said, "There's a man here named Lee, and he's insistent on playing some music." And I said, "He's playing a keyboard. And his name is Lee." And he said, "You know, because you managed him." And he said, "Oh my God, that's exactly right." He goes, "That's Liberace. I was his manager." And the funny thing was, he was wondering if he would show up when he was buying the tape that morning at the store, the cassette tape. He was wondering if Lee would show up. And another time I had, let's see who else showed up. Marilyn Monroe showed up for a reading with Suzanne Strasberg, who has since been deceased. But she was writing a book, and Marilyn Monroe showed up, named Norma Rae. Didn't expect it. And what she said was very interesting. She said, "I wish people would pay homage to themselves instead of to me." And that's all she said.
That's interesting.
It is, isn't it, though?
Have you ever had, like, Sinatra or Dean Martin or anything?
Haven't had them. Have not had them, although I've been around their surroundings, their place where they live, but have not had them come through yet. I've had Jackie Gleason come through many times.
Oh, cool.
I used to work with Audrey Meadows, and she was a client of mine, and he came through quite a bit. And he was very, very psychic, you know, very, very into the supernatural, the paranormal, Pisces man. And he had one of the largest libraries of paranormal works in the United States.
And that's what I hear. Loved, yeah. UFOs and the ET stories.
Loved
too.
It, and has since left it to the University of Miami. Yep, he's very into all the stuff.
Let's go next. Thanks, Jeremy. Let's go to Amy in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Hi, Amy.
Hi. Wow, it's such an honor to be on your show, George. I love listening to you.
Well, you are welcome.
I was just wondering, how does a person know when someone that's passed on is trying to pass a message to them or someone near them?
Sure. Well, there are many ways that spirits are trying to communicate. For instance, the dream state, as I mentioned earlier, is the number one way, okay? Another way they come through is electricity. They can affect electrical things, whether that's a computer, a telephone, television, radio. Songs will come on that remind you of them. They can influence that somehow, or they can get your attention, let's just say. Animals, smells like roses, flowers, cigars, cigarettes, something you would associate with them. That's another way they try. And this very recently came to me. Another way that they will attempt to come through to let you know they're around is they will project their image into your mind. And when you're looking out, let's say, to someone in the street or somewhere, another person, they look like the spirit. They look like that person. You'll think of them. There are all different ways. Someone might be talking to somebody, and they'll say something that your friend who died might have said. And, you know, they're around you that way. So they come in all different ways. All different ways they try.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
People's goals sometimes are screwed up too, James. You know, we talked about, you know, money and success. That should not be the barometer.
No. Because what good is money? Money is just an energy. It's what you do with money that counts. You know, money is just an energy. And when you pass over to this side, you'll see what you exactly did with that money. And you, for someone who had a lot of money, you have more of a responsibility. You know, it's money, like they say that Dolly Levi said in that movie, Hello, Dolly. It's money's like manure. Spread around and watch it grow. Make things grow. And it's very true. It's exactly what's right.
Let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hello, Dave, east of the Rockies.
Yeah, long-time listener and StreamLink subscriber.
Oh, great, David. Thank you.
Yeah, I was wondering what people on this side can do to ease the transition to the other side for people that are close to that.
Great, great question. I applaud you and honor you for asking that. A lot of hospice workers also know about this, and they do it. It's to ease the transition. The best way to ease the transition is to softly speak to those loved ones and help them know. We can say, you know, there's a light there. There's your loved ones who might have passed over. They're around you. Just feel at peace. Just close your eyes and be at peace. And just kind of meditate with them. And that's what, just kind of help them relax. Help them relax and help them realize they're not alone.
Sue in Alberta, Canada on the international line. You're with James Van Prague.
Hi, George. Hi, James.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Okay. I've been listening to Coast to Coast for a long time.
and I've read all of James's books, and you've helped me through a lot of hard times.
Oh, thank you.
And I just wanted to know, how would someone improve their psychic abilities that they think that they already have?
I write a lot about it in my books, special book Heaven and Earth, I write about it.
Mm-hmm.
There are meditation books. It is through meditation. It's taking the time, and it's really learning how to use that, deciphering the energy, your inner knowingness, if you will. And the hard part is the rational mind or the inner knowingness. And it's practice, practice, practice. The best way is through, again, silencing and meditation. And that's how you do it. You know, it's not something like we're so used to taking a pill and everything's better the next morning. It doesn't work that way with this. It's a process. But it's worth it. Now, there are little things you can do which are fun things, which I suggest too. For instance, anytime you can use your intuition, use it. If you get the phone rings, try to intuit who's on the other line. Or if you get bills or in the mail, you know, you try to figure out how much the amount of the bill is, if it's different every month. If you meet a business meeting with somebody you've never met before, try to intuit what they look like, physical characteristics of that person, the color of clothes that they're wearing, what type of personality they are. These little things, these little games, they call them, really is a way to develop your intuition as well. It might seem silly, but it's certainly using that muscle.
They used to call Frank Sinatra Old Blue Eyes, but for you, they call you Young Blue Eyes.
Thank you, George. Appreciate that.
Let's go to Calabasas, California. Wendy, we got some time for you. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, James.
Hi, Wendy.
I have been following you since, I guess Sonny Bono passed away, and you had talked with Cher.
That's right. That's exactly right. I just met her recently again. She reminded me of what I told her about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a real gem.
Yeah.
You have helped me strengthen my faith and my intuition immensely. And I wanted to go back to what George was talking about initially about forgiveness. And I understand, you know, about forgiving people. And we had a situation briefly that my mom had passed away, and we have a family member that I probably has some childhood resentment. And you just feel the negative energy and like energy vampires. Judith Orloff wrote a fantastic book on energy vampires and positive energy, the book was called, but specifies on that. My question is, when a person has passed, can they help one of the family members through in guiding them for protection of
you bet.
Another family member that might have grievance or have mm-hmm. some hostility that when the other half passes that they'll come after you?
They won't usually come after you when they pass on. They usually will see the light, if you will. And and you know what? The only thing I'd say to you is build up your own responsibility and do your work, which is forgive them and love them no matter what. Take the high road, as my book talks about.
Right.
Take the high road.
Well, it's James, I meant for the people that are still alive. You know, say my mom's already passed and my dad should go, then, you know, all hell can break loose. Where do you
think? When they were on the other side, you mean?
Yeah, they'll be fine, but it's just
they'll be fine,
still,
correct.
Yeah, it's just the ones that are still alive that, you know, like George was saying, you just have a hard time forgiving for some of the things that they have done when you know they have intentions of doing more after.
Honey, the only thing you can really do is work on yourself.
Exactly.
That's really all you can do. You can start with yourself. You have to work with yourself.
Okay.
It's loving yourself, forgiving yourself, and loving them. Loving them unconditionally. Hard, hard, hard lesson. But one that's just so, so necessary. And it works in every aspect of your life. It'll be affected. So
James, forgiveness is really for the living person, isn't it?
Oh, you bet. You bet. It's for forgiving ourselves. Forgiving ourselves, not living up to what we thought was, you know, what should have been, could have been, would have been. It's being realistic also. It's being realistic and asking yourself, you know, what is normal? What is right for me? You know, what might be right for one person isn't right for somebody else. Maybe you can't live up to someone else's expectations. Maybe that's not your life. There's nothing to feel bad about. You have to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm.
Let's
and look
go
at
to
yourself
Teresa.
Honestly, too, George. The person has to look at themselves honestly.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
With a critical eye.
That's right. That's right. But not a judgmental type of eye, just a critical eye.
San Jose, California. Teresa, hi there.
Hello there. It's great to be on. Bless you both and everyone else listening. I just have a question. Hopefully I can bring it out.
Sure.
regarding dreams, I've been listening tonight, and you said it's very important to be in a dream state. Now, I just have a specific question, but maybe general to everyone else that will help them out as well. I hardly ever think about this person. I haven't seen this person in, say, 15 years. All of a sudden, I get in a real deep sleep. I wake up and say, oh, there's that person in my dream. Now, is it, how do I know that I'm not drawing that?
Or you're with that person. Or you're with that person.
Well, you know, I'm not with that. You know, I haven't seen the person.
Remember before I said about you leave your body at night when you go to sleep?
Yeah.
And you go to the other side?
Uh-huh.
And you meet up with your friends and family who have passed over in spirit. And that's where you are. You're with them. So you're remembering that in your conscious mind. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. James, once again, thank you so much.
Thank you, George. I appreciate it.
You're a hero to many.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Unfinished Business out there in the bookstores right now. And speaking engagements.
Go to my website, too. That'd be great.
That's the easiest thing to do.
Yep. And I'm having a contest for free readings on my website for the book.
VanTheProg.com. It's linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. James, of everything you've done in your life, what do you look forward to doing in the future?
You know, more of the same, more of awakening people. That's the most important. And really giving people a sense of, you know, who they are, responsible souls, spiritual beings having a physical experience. Really continuing to change the consciousness and raise the consciousness and having people be responsible.
I bet when you're at a book signing, one of the greatest feelings for you when somebody comes up to you and just simply says, you changed my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very satisfying. That is why I do it. But then you know that it is, George. I say to people, good, pass it on. And that's what it's about. Pass it on to another person then.
All
you
right.
know, you learn to pass it on to somebody else who needs it.
I'm sure you've got a very busy schedule tomorrow. Get some sleep, James.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it. Lovely speaking to you and look forward to another time.
James Van Prague. You know all about him. All you have to do is go to his website, vanprague.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.